sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And this half of the show is brought to you by Zestra, a female enhancement product, which you'll be hearing about a little later in the show. Today, I want to talk about probably everybody's favorite subject. Take a guess. What do you think that subject is? Yeah, you're going to think it's sex. But it's not. I'm talking about food today. And I think that's probably people's more favorite subject than sex. Actually, people like to talk about food more than they talk about sex. So what I want you to contemplate, some of you that are old enough to remember Tiny Tim, he started some kind of movement that said, you are what you eat. I think it was Tiny Tim. Anyway, I can't even believe I'm aging myself and remembering that. But today we're going to actually talk about how raw and living food, and maybe if you're not a raw foodie, but you are a good organic foodie, we'll just add that in. We're going to talk about how that could possibly put you in the mood, like what eating the proper foods and eating really to nourish your body, what that would be like in your life and how that could enhance your sex life and certainly your happiness. So that's the subject for today. And I think it's a timely subject. I feel it's so important to people. I feel what they put in their body is fuel. And so if you want to get fueled up for passion, you're going to need to do the right thing. So my guest today is Catherine Clark. And Catherine is an RN. And she's a health educator at Hippocrates Health Institute, which is located in West Palm Beach, Florida. Catherine, I happen to know Catherine as well. We've worked together. We're not strangers. I'm not just calling up any old RN who's into healthy living. I'm calling up somebody that I know is an authority on this subject. Catherine says that sexuality is one of the great mysteries of life, synonymous with life itself. More than simply creating new life in the form of babies, sexual energy can also be skillfully channeled into creativity, industry, and a passion for almost anything. Yay! Taoists, Buddhists, and Hindu traditions teach how to harness this powerful energy for the purposes of activating spiritual awakening, vitality, and longevity. The level of sexual energy is undeniably related to the vitality and health of the organism, no matter what kind of food is eaten. So that's Catherine's basic statement about sexuality and having to do with food. And she recently had a fabulous article in the Hippocrates Health magazine called Healing Our World. And so I contacted her and said, we have to talk. So Catherine, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thank you, Lori. It's wonderful to be here with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And I love your expression about food, and I want to just jump right into it. As an RN and as a health educator, which you are, you teach many things. Tell us some of the courses that you teach and some of the responsibilities you had over the years at Hippocrates so we could just set the stage, and then let's jump into your thoughts and feelings about food. We have a lot of time where we can take up different aspects of it.
All right. That sounds good. Well, you know, I'm the Director of Education at Hippocrates Health Institute most recently and redid their advanced educational programs, which is their health educator training, instituting some alumni programs for people who've already done their three-week program. My first trip to Hippocrates was in 1983. I spent 3 weeks there in March. as a gift from Dr. Ann Wigmore, because both of us had our birthday on March 17th, and so we were celebrating together. And that is definitely a milestone in my life that changed the direction that I was headed, because of what I learned there about how to nourish my body, how to have fantastic energy, how to have strong immunity, and just feel good. I'd always had low energy prior to getting on raw foods, and so my 30-year journey into raw foods has really helped me not just with physical energy, but my mental and my spiritual energy. And I think that your sexuality has a part to play in all those aspects of your life. It's not just physical. It is also mental. It is also spiritual and can be profoundly spiritual. I was so excited when they asked me to write this article because, of course, sexuality is one of my favorite topics, and I've also studied a lot of Taoist Qigong. And in that lineage, you learn that practicing becoming more aware of your sexual energy, both in a single practice, which is something that you do breathing and in your own awareness by yourself, or in dual cultivation, which is actually involving the act of intercourse. And I know with you, in your Hindu tradition, you do the same thing.
Before we delve directly into the sexual aspects, I just want to back up for a second. I want to just interrupt for a second, then we'll come back to that, and you can give some more. We mentioned a lot of things, like Dr. Ann Wigmore, and you mentioned Hippocrates Health Institute and how it changed your life, but a lot of people don't know what that is, and they also don't know who Ann Wigmore is.
Oh.
Yeah, so let's just back up for a second in terms of that background, and then we'll come to cultivating sexual energy and the traditions and this stuff, because I also know you know a lot about this. You know, Catherine, I met Dr. Ann Wigmore in Boston in 1972 on Commonwealth Avenue. That was the first Hippocrates Health Institute, and a friend of mine was a vegetarian and starting to work there and find out about the secret of wheatgrass and how wheatgrass could cure cancer. And he introduced me to Hippocrates, and I remember going in there and smelling fresh wheatgrass growing in the windows, in the winter, freezing cold windows of Boston.
Yes, and it was absolutely phenomenal. It was back in Boston then. And I learned all about raw food diet and living foods, how to grow my own sprouts and greens, which, of course, I now teach other people how to do that, how to prepare whole meals without having to cook, which, of course, makes the cleanup a lot simpler as well. And I've been teaching people how to do that all these years. But I also learned about reflexology, how to push the different points on my feet to help me take care of my own health, drinking enough water and staying hydrated. Really, I learned a lot of things about how to take care of my body that I wish I had learned when I was in grade school or kindergarten. I think most people know more about taking care of their automobile. They certainly know they've got to put the right kind of gas in their car to keep their engine running. They don't really realize that their body is like a vehicle as well, and they need to put the proper kind of fuel in it so that it can keep running optimally. I think the difference is if you put the wrong kind of gas, you know, diesel in your gas car, it's going to stop immediately, but our bodies just sort of wind down and it looks like not feeling good, not having energy, catching everything that's going around, and then eventually getting different sorts of diseases and things that that I like to educate people about now. How Health Works is one of the basic classes I give, and it's like an introduction to your body and a user's manual. It covers more than just how to feed yourself and staying hydrated, but little techniques like reflexology, treating yourself for different conditions that you might have with reflexology, deep breathing and breathing practices, meditation to help you relieve your stresses.
That's great.
Yeah.
A lot. It sounds like an overall Better Health course that doesn't sound too complex. Like, it sounds like almost anyone could do it.
Oh, it is. And it's so simple. And I have a manual with a coloring book.
I love it.
Because that integrates the left and right hemispheres of the brain, because I'm wanting people to actually change their behavior,
mm-hmm.
not just learn. So we use super learning techniques, taking our breaks every 40, 45 minutes, drawing in the book, taking notes in different colors with the different pens that I provide, coloring in the different parts of the body that we're talking about. And I give homework on the different breaks and overnight. And one of the homework sessions I give is chew your food and count the number of times you chew until you get to 25 or 50. And notice how the flavor of the food changes and how it disappears in your mouth and there's only liquid left. That's actually digestion taking place. Most people,
wow.
Yeah, most people eat like they have teeth in their stomach. You know, you see them take big bites of their burgers and, you know, chew it maybe four times and then swallow hunks of food. That's your only chance to chew your food up when you have it in your mouth. So when you experiment with chewing, you know, 10, 20, 25, even up to 50 times, and you find the food gets sweeter and sweeter and literally disappears, that is helping you digest the food right there before you swallow it down into your system. And we have about 30 feet of intestines in our belly, and it's in there with our livers and stomach and kidneys and all the different organs going back and forth with all these dog legs and loops and so forth. And when I give my class and I say to people, do you think it's possible that when you swallow hunks of food, it could get caught up in these 30 feet of intestines that are all packed down there into your belly? And the light goes on, and the, oh, yeah. You know, they do. They begin to understand the value of chewing so that hunks of food don't get caught up in your intestine where they're going to ferment, putrefy. People ask me, do I think everybody has parasites?
Wait a second. I want to talk about this chewing before you go into parasites. I wanted to ask you later in the show if you would give people a tip on how they could feel better about themselves, because feeling better in their body is going to make them sexier and happier. And I'm so glad you gave a tip early in the show, like chewing food from 20 to 25 to 50 times. I think that's something really simple that people could implement, and it wouldn't really take them much to be able to do that. So I think that's so important. Thank you so much for giving us one very simple tip. I know you're going to give us more. I just know that about you. We need to take a little short break here for a moment, and when we come back, we can open up with parasites, or we can open up with cultivating sexual energy, because there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about that have to do with sexuality that you touched on in this article. So I want to connect the dots for people so they get it, that their food and what they eat and the fuel that you just discussed have to do with everything, with also their sexual energy, their sexual health, and how they can get happier.
Absolutely.
So if you just tuned in, I'm speaking with Catherine Clark, who is an RN, and she's a Hippocrates health educator. And Catherine's amazing. She's like, I think she's like a walking encyclopedia of how to be with food. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Handlers, your host. And remember that this part of the show is brought to you by Zestra. And I'm speaking today with a registered nurse named Catherine Clark, who is a health educator from Hippocrates Health Institute. And Catherine knows a lot about food and how to treat your body. She just gave us a really important tip about chewing. Chewing more than you think, because it's the only opportunity you have to chew. You don't want food to get stuck in your intestines and going through 30 feet or yard. I don't remember what you said. Well, you'll correct me on that. 30-something of
canal. Yeah, about 30
canal,
feet.
30 feet of canal where food has to be ingested as the fuel into the body. Now, we left off, you were going to say something about parasites, and I'd like you to say what that point was, and then we'll move into some stuff about sexuality, because I don't know if I've had parasites or not. Whenever I go to India and come back, I always do parasite cleanses just to be on the safe side. So what were you going to tell us about parasites in the colon?
Well, I highly recommend that, Laurie. Doing a regular parasite cleanse is just a smart, smart thing to do. Of course, my point was if people were swallowing hunks of food and they may be getting hung up in the gut, then that's how leaky gut occurs. That compromises your immune system. And, of course, that would be where the parasites would live, in this undigested food. And all animal husbandry, even when people get young dogs and cats, they worm them. They treat them for parasites. But people don't think about doing that for themselves. But it's a very, very smart thing to do, because parasites would sap away your energy.
And more, and much more. Yes. They could do much more damage.
Yes, absolutely.
So do you recommend a parasite cleanse once a year or a couple times a year? Or
I think it depends on your diet and your exposure, Laurie. If you're gulping down burgers and french fries and washing them down with Cokes, then you probably ought to do one every 6 months for maybe six times, and then get on one every 6 months. I do it myself every 6 months because I do travel a lot and I'm consuming a lot of produce in restaurants. And
right.
So if the person hasn't washed their hands, that's an excellent way to pick up something that you don't want. The best book about this, I think, is Guess What Came to Dinner by Louise Ann Gettleman.
Yes. Okay.
It's by Shirley Scott. She's a medical doctor in Santa Fe, and she's an expert in this topic if you think you need help with that. Probably enough on that topic for now. That gives everybody a direction to go in if it's something that they want to pursue.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you talked about in this article, Can Raw and Living Food Put You in the Mood? So you talked about how to enhance sexual arousal and sexual satisfaction and enjoying sex longer, and you did an online survey. So you have so much information here that I want to make sure people get. So let's just start with arousal. What kinds of foods, how could people change their sexual arousal? Because people are doing all kinds of things like Viagra, and now there's this female Viagra that the companies are trying to push on us. So let's just talk about arousal to start with.
All right. Well, you know, there many foods down through the ages have been considered aphrodisiac foods. And now that we are doing scientific research on those foods to see what's in them, we're finding out that many of the foods have precursors to hormones, to the sex hormones. The one I mentioned in my article was fenugreek. But foods like maca, foods like even figs, which have been known as fertility foods, all these foods, it turns out, have chemicals in them that are precursors to the sex hormones. But going back even beyond just the aphrodisiac foods, which would be foods that would help you with your arousal, probably help you have a sustained sexual interaction with someone, they would help you have sex longer in life. So that, you know, having sex longer doesn't just mean at one encounter or all night long. It would mean into your 60s, your 70s, your 80s, as long as you live.
This is good.
Yes, yes. And so my basic premise in the beginning is that the level of sexual energy is undeniably related to the vitality and the health of the organism, of the person. So that's why I'm making the link to eating more raw and living foods. And living foods are foods that living when you eat them. So that would be sprouts or cultured foods like seed cheese or sauerkraut that are still living when you put them in your mouth, as opposed to lettuce that you bought in the grocery store that may have been picked days or even weeks before. It's still raw, but it's not exactly living. Living food has a lot more potency that it can transfer into your body to dramatically increase your vitality. And so getting aroused is something that's going to occur far more frequently when your vitality level is really high and your physical energy level is high as well.
What if you, I mean, I grow my own. I have to just say, since I moved to Arizona, I actually have my own little organic garden. So if I want kale, or if I want chard, or if I want lettuce, or if I want tomatoes, I just go right out and pick them.
That is absolutely the best. That is totally what I prefer to do as well. That, of course, those foods have more vitality, but they are not the same as eating them when they were alive. If you got down and you ate the lettuce leaf or the tomato while it was still connected to the vine.
That's literal.
That's literal. So if you pick it and you take it in and you wash it and you eat it, then it has a lot more vitality and life force than if it's a half an hour old, 2 hours old, 2 days old. I mean, really the time is a factor in the nutrients in the food and the life force or the vitality in the food. So I'm glad you have a garden and you're doing that.
Me too. It's so much fun. I never was so successful. I mean, I also grow great roses, but growing my own food is, it's so earthy. So, I always heard that oysters and chocolate and even wine and coffee, I mean, are those things arousal factors too? Or
when you would look at wine lowers your inhibitions and mm-hmm. you're more likely to feel comfortable expressing yourself sexually, interacting with someone else. Coffee, the caffeine gives you a boost of energy. So, you know, that I think the all these things relate in different ways. Oysters are a real nutritional power pack, and of course they've always been considered aphrodisiac foods, and they look a lot like male testicles or even ovaries. And so they're relating that way. Now you mentioned chocolate, which of course is all the rage in the raw food community. You can get chocolate that is raw and has not been fermented, and chocolate that is raw and has been fermented, but it's processed, it's not a living food. But chocolate actually has theobromine in it, which is from the caffeine family. So that might have something to do with why eating chocolate would put you in the mood. And also it has the love molecule, phenylethylamine, or PEA, and this is identical to the chemical that is manufactured in the brain when you're crazy in love.
Oh, I see. I see. So it's exactly what you said earlier, that these foods over the history of centuries have related to the hormones that have to do with sex and turn on and life and vitality. Even though people didn't know that or research that in laboratories.
Right. A lot of times they used what's known as the doctrine of signatures. And you can look that up on the web. What it generally means is if a food has a resemblance to something, some part of your body, then it's good for that part of the body. So carrots look like the eyes. Well, we now know beta carotene is very good for the eyes. Figs, when you cut a fig in half, it's full of all those little seeds. Well, those are like testicles and ovaries. And they've always said that figs are not so much for arousal, but for fertility. So you see that, there you go. even bananas have precursors to sex hormones. And, of course, we all know what a banana resembles.
Wow, Catherine, this is amazing stuff that you're talking about here. I mean, I never considered it like this. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about sexual satisfaction and the ability to enjoy sex longer. And we'll talk a little bit more about your surveys and things like this, because I find everything you're saying fascinating.
Awesome. Thank you, Lori. I'm enjoying this so much.
We're talking about how food connects you to your sexuality in a way that perhaps you've never considered.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Lori Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show. We'll be right back.
Hey, all, want to have a real adventure this year? I, Lori Handlers, personally invite you to come with me on a tantric tour of the heart of India from November 19th to December 1st, 2012. You'll see the Taj Mahal and visit the fabulous Fatehpur Sikri, home of the great Mughal king Akbar. You'll experience the sacred lake of Pushkar and visit the pink city of Jaipur. Then at dawn, from a boat on the Ganges in Varanasi, you'll see exquisite Hindu prayer rituals. Then you'll see Sarnath, where the Buddha gave his first speech after attaining enlightenment as well. And then you'll explore the exotic Kama Sutra temples in Khajuraho. You'll have ample opportunity to see these world-renowned temples up close, and you'll even get to meditate inside. Finally, you'll shop till you drop in the Paragonj Bazaar in New Delhi. Throughout the tour, I'll be teaching tantric techniques and principles, and I promise that you will shift your consciousness and come closer to attaining your spiritual goals. For more information about the tantric tour to the heart of India, call me at 202-686-7440. That's 202-686-7440. Or write to me, Laurie, at butterflyworkshops.com. You can find out everything you want to know at butterflyworkshops.com, Tantric Tours. Please note that no previous experience of Tantra or yoga is necessary. I invite you to join me in this unique experience touring the incredible country of India, and I must warn you, this is not your typical tour, and you are not a typical tourist.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and in the last segment, I was speaking with Catherine Clark about food. Well, she taught me something that I never knew, that foods that look like organs feed those organs. And I meant to ask you something about liver and eating liver and hearts and brains. And are those things true, too? Like eating liver helps people's liver? And
eating organ foods are classically, of course, related to those parts of your body. That would not technically be the doctrine of signature, which I was talking about.
Okay.
But that is historically what has been said. You know, you eat the kidneys of an animal, those are good for you. And cooking them, you know, there are people who eat those things raw. And when you have them raw, then you would literally be taking in the hormones and chemicals that are important for those organs in the animal.
Which is why it's so important to eat organic. I mean, I know you eat mostly raw, and I know that you don't do much cooking, so I know I'm asking you things, but I know you're asked these questions all the time, so I don't feel they're out of school asking them to you, even if that's not your preference.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, my father was a butcher, Lori, so, you know, I know a lot about meat.
I had no idea. Yeah. I am not going to feel bad about asking you about anything. And I know that your focus is on raw. And I know that the more raw that people can get into their own diets, the actual better for them and the healthier for them. And so that's the bottom line. I know that. And still, I may have a few questions about things like organ meats. So let's talk a little bit more about the ability to enhance sexual satisfaction. How can foods affect that?
Well, I think that what you brought up about chocolate is one of the keys to how foods can affect how you feel in your sexuality. You know, even though science will tell you that the PEA in chocolate is not well absorbed through the gut, I think anyone who has eaten chocolate would beg to differ with them, because it certainly does bring on that loving feeling and the bonding feeling. Now, as I mentioned in my article, I was talking about fenugreek. So this food, fenugreek sprouts, has precursors to the sex hormones. So actually, they, in effect, feed your sexual system, your hormonal system, and so therefore bring more vitality to that area and can definitely help you feel more in the mood.
Wait a second. So if I did fenugreek sprouts, like I didn't even know you could do fenugreek sprouts, but like alfalfa sprouts or mung bean sprouts or anything that you can sprout, you can also sprout fenugreek seeds?
Yes, yes you can.
So, okay, everybody, listen up. So,
fenugreek is actually one of the oldest recorded medicinal and aphrodisiac herbs. It was regarded as a treatment for just about everything. Isn't it amazing that most Americans have never eaten it or heard of it? But in Egypt and Greece and in Rome, these seeds were used extensively as a staple in the diet of their concubines.
My mouth is open. I'm not saying anything because my mouth is almost down to the floor.
Yes, yes. And it was used to increase the roundness and the size of the breasts of these women. And it's also said to help to detoxify the body, remove impurities, and strengthen the kidneys. And now in Chinese, the kidney strength or kidney qi is a great indicator of the overall vitality in the body. So certainly any food that was strengthening that kidney qi would lead to a more active sex life.
Makes perfect sense. And I'm not surprised really that it was that started as an exploration probably in Egypt, because the Egyptians were such an advanced civilization back then that it's not a mystery to me. All the dots add up. As you speak, I go, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. And fenugreek has a smell like maple syrup. Now, who doesn't like maple syrup? When you eat them, they can actually be used as a deodorant, because your body will begin to exude this aroma, this very mild kind of like baking cookies or maple syrup smell. And that was one of the reasons I chose fenugreek, because it has so many aspects to it that I think enhance your sexuality, because a sense of smell is one of the major ways we pick our partners, whether we're aware of it or not.
You know, I've done shows on that. I mean, that cannot be stated more strongly. It's a crime that people wear colognes and perfumes and aftershave lotions that are designed by designers that mask their actual smell and mask the smell of the people that they think, and I emphasize the word think rather than feel, they're attracted to. And all of this is because of that people don't have their real smells about them. And it's really important to have their real smell, for me to have my real smell and you to have your real smell, so we know if we're actually attracted to each other. Because someone could get married to someone and a few years later realize there's a disattraction and they don't even know why. We could blame it on Ralph Lauren or...
Yes, they've changed their cologne. You know, I bet you've seen this research. Men are most turned on, supposedly by this research, to the smell of pumpkin pie baking.
No, I didn't know that.
Women are turned off by the smell of men's commercial colognes. Ralph Lauren should have done some more research.
Yeah, I can't stand it. I can't stand it anywhere. And since I'm tantric and I do all this breathing and squeezing, my sense of smell is so heightened compared to what it was back in the days when I was actually wearing perfume.
Mm-hmm.
That I can't stand it. I can't stand to be in an elevator with somebody who has on perfume. I can't stand to sit in a movie theater behind or near somebody that's wearing cologne. I just can't stand it. Well, let's move on because we made a big point here for fenugreek, and I love it. I'm going to, of course, get some and sprout it. Thank you so much. What else in terms of the sustaining a sexuality or enhancing sexual satisfaction can you tell us? I hope people are taking notes.
Yes. Well, you know, you can think about some foods that remind you of parts of the body. On the cover of the magazine, it was really cute. They had an avocado cut in half. And of course, that looks like a uterus. It looks like a womb. And then they had lentil sprouts, regular green lentils like you make lentil soup from. And the lentil sprouts with their little tails look like sperm swimming towards the avocado. Now, avocado is also known as an aphrodisiac food. And probably one of the reasons is how rich it is in fats. And our brain, which is very involved in our sexual attraction, is made up mostly of fat. And feeding the brain and keeping the brain healthy is a very important part of being able to have sexual arousal and sexual performance. Probably, I wanted to go back a little bit to the smell that you were talking about, to the pheromones that the body emits. And I think that that's an important part of the smell. And then the other thing is, I wanted to talk about sprouting the fenugreek, which really brings out that maple syrup smell. But when you sprout the food, you dramatically increase the potential of the food in terms of the nutrition that it can give to the body. And as I mentioned before, that actually makes it a living food as well. So, you know, just before I got off that, I wanted to cover that about it a little bit. And you can sprout, as you mentioned, clover, alfalfa, almonds. You can sprout your lentils, your black beans, mung beans. Even if you're going to cook them, Lori, soaking them before you cook them will reduce the likelihood of them giving you any kind of gas, increase their nutrition, and their digestibility. And my premise is that when you're eating better, when you have more vitality, you're more likely to have sexual energy and be able to act on the levels of arousal. And you mentioned being even more sensitive to aromas and things. I think that when you raise your level of vitality and you become aware, more aware of smells, sights, colors, shapes, you know, like asparagus, or like when I talked about banana, you know, that you can experience sexuality as actual life force, that you may actually be aroused by beautiful flowers, by the shapes that you see in nature of certain kinds of trees or colors. I mean, I just think that black cherries, for instance, are so sexy.
Well, I wanted to ask you about asparagus. Because I know that asparagus changes the smell of urine, like after people eat asparagus, and there might be some other foods that do that as well.
Well, you know, Lori, I think Asparagus is supposed to be an aphrodisiac food for erectile function in particular, but it gives you an odor to your urine. Unless you find that odor appealing, which I really don't, then I think that it might become a bit of a hygiene issue that you would want to make sure that you get rid of that odor, or that you weren't having asparagus when you were going to be sexually active.
That's great. Okay, I just had to go there. We're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, there are a few other things I want to ask you about. I want to ask you about the survey that you did with people and their increased interest in sex, and a few other questions that I think are really important for people. So please stay tuned. I am speaking with Catherine Clark, who is an expert on food and what kinds of effects food have on the body. And this program is critical to you. You could change one or two small things and feel more vitality and sexier in your life. And who wouldn't want that? So we'll be right back.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lati Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lati Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lati Han CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
You're listening to Sex and Happiness. This is Lori Handlers, your host, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Sex Butter. Interestingly enough, that's named after a food. I don't know if butter increases, if real butter increases your sexuality or not, but I'm talking with Catherine Clark, who's an expert in different foods. And Catherine has done a survey on the internet, which you can probably take her survey to. Is your survey still on? Can people still do it,
yes,
Catherine?
Yes, it is. It's a little bit of a long address, but I would love it if you gave it out and I could get some more data.
The survey, in case you want to take it, and then she's going to tell us some of her survey findings, you can take it. It's www.surveymonkey.com, and then you make a slash S, the letter S like Sam, and another slash. These are forward slashes. And then it's capital J, capital R, capital T, capital N, capital W, capital C, capital G. That's JRTNWCG. And if you go there and take a survey, your statistics can be added into Catherine's compilation. So what were some of the things you found out from doing this survey about raw food and people changing their diets and stuff where it concerns sexuality?
Well, you know, it was really fascinating, Lori. I asked in there, you know, do people eat raw food? How much raw food by percentage of their diet? How long have they been doing it, and what their age is? And the most exciting thing I found, and of course people can write comments after they do their answer, you know, is just clicking off a box. They can also write comments. The most exciting thing was that people said who were older that as they increased the percentage of raw food in their diet, their energy increased, and also their sexual appetite increased, and their ability to have enough physical energy, strength, endurance, stamina to have the kind of sex they wanted to have and to be able to have sex for longer at each encounter. And I thought that that was just phenomenal. A few people actually commented that they were very surprised by that, especially given their age. Now, I was very excited when I was asked to write this article because One of the famous people in the raw food world, David Wolf, had asked me back in 2000 while we were at a raw food conference in Jamaica if I thought people who ate raw food were hornier.
Okay.
And I said, yes. Now, what I base this on, and I do have a degree in sociology and psychology, so.
So do I. Go ahead. I do too.
Yeah, so I have a little, you know, I have that inclination to observe people as individuals and to observe people in groups. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed is that when you're in a group of people, and raw food people especially, you will see the social signs of sexual energy, mating, flirting, that you know, sustained eye contact, big smiles, standing a little closer together, flipping the hair, fiddling with the hair, touching people. And you see a great increase in the incidence of that when you're in a group of people who most of them are eating raw food, whether it's 50, 70, 80, or even 100% of their diet. And you see that in standard American diet groups when people have been drinking, not so much when people are sober.
That's an amazing factoid you point out there. This is true. When people's inhibitions are down from alcohol, then there's more touchy-feely stuff. But usually they're just people sitting around sort of lead-bellied at a table in a restaurant when they're just eating.
Yes.
Or lead-bellied at a table in their family, in their kitchen or their dining room. Or,
yes.
And you're saying in raw, with people who eat a lot of raw, there's more touchy-feely kind of feeling, extending, connecting
yes.
to people.
And what you'll also notice in the standard American diet groups is, if you do a little research, if you step forward towards the person you're speaking to, they almost always step back to keep a certain amount of distance between you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a raw food situation, at those events, it's much more common to step forward towards the person or lean forward, and they will lean forward in, you know, showing that you're in good rapport towards you. You know, it's not 100%, but, you know, it's greater than 50%. You can notice that this is occurring, showing that there's comfort, that there's good rapport, that, you know, that you're really bonding, and it's a more intimate situation.
These are some interesting statistics that you have here. You know, I have to just share something. Last night I was at a seminar, and we hadn't been together for 2 or 3 weeks. And the seminar leader asked what changes people had experienced or what was opening up for them since we last saw each other, and as a result of whatever the distinctions were that we were working on the seminar. And a guy gets up, who I've been in 2 seminars with before. He basically looks like a chubby, not attractive, kind of schlubby looking guy, like not anyone that I would really ever find attractive, and also one who carries himself with the feelings that I could tell, not feeling attractive himself. And he gets up and he says, well, in the last month, I've taken on a raw food diet, and he said, I expected that I would look better and feel a little better. He said, but I never anticipated that my entire mood would change, that everything about me would alter, like I'm clearer, I'm focused, I think better, I fit in my clothes better, which was expected, but the rest wasn't. I'm kinder to my family, I'm better with my girlfriend, I'm this and that and the other. And I'm sitting there, and the guy doesn't even look like the same guy that I saw a month ago.
What?
And I think, yeah, this guy kind of looks like a guy, noticeable guy now.
Uh-huh.
So what you're saying is, in direct kind of, your statistics are like this guy that I just had a real-life feel for last evening. Someone I don't really talk to. I was so impressed. Again, my mouth was open. I was like, wow, what happened to this guy? Raw food.
Yes, I'm so glad you mentioned that. And, you know, people who hear, oh, eat more raw food. Yeah, I know that'd be good for me. I'd like to do it. I just don't know how. It is so simple. And I really encourage people to get on the internet because, I mean, there are all sorts of people on YouTube. Myself, I have 6 free raw recipe books, books of recipes I can send out. And yeah, when you do something new for the first time, you try to make a pasta marinara or something, it's confusing. But after the first time, it is so easy. It's so fast. The cleanup is so much simpler. There's no time for cooking. I really encourage people, and I think they will find that they have the kind of benefits this fellow revealed in your group last night. That's pretty much across the board.
Amazing. Well, let's talk about how people get in touch with you, because it's really important that they find you, that they can get this book, that they can go for it themselves. Let's empower them to be able to find everything that you've spoken about, and then it's up to them.
Awesome. Let's do that. I will give out my email, Lori, and if you want to request the raw food recipes, then I will put you into my email list and send you out a recipe book or two each week to give you time to look through them, and I will point out what some of my favorite recipes are. We make a phenomenal hummus, but instead of using chickpeas, which you can use chickpeas raw and sprouted, but you use zucchini and make it in your food processor. It's so fast and so delicious. So email me at health, H-E-A-L-T-H, works, W-O-R-K-S, hi, H-I, at gmail.com. And I will be happy to send that out. And I will also send out my website, which is under construction now, but it's going to be a couple of more weeks before I'm ready to go with that. And, of course, I have a lot of raw recipes on there. And I have several recipes that I have developed now as aphrodisiac recipes. Some of them are chocolate recipes.
There you go. We got to have that. We have to know about those.
Yes. And one of the main foods that I incorporate into my chocolate recipes is the wild blue-green algae from Upper Klamath Lake. I've been eating that for over 25 years, and I have a website for that called simplysuperfood.com. It turns out that that's the other food which, like chocolate, has the love molecule in it, the phenylethylamine. But it's actually raw. When you can order it, it's dried. You can take it in capsules, tablets, powder, that kind of thing. I put the powder in the protein. And that is literally the most nutritious food you can eat. And it often helps satisfy people so that they have an easier time switching over to more raw foods in their diet, kind of handling their cravings.
Well, Catherine, it has been my pleasure to find out all of this from you and to really talk about this subject, which I asserted in the beginning when we first started the show, that food is almost more important to people than sex. I think food plays into people's happiness. Look, a lot of people just don't have access. They either learn to not touch themselves, which is a real shame, or they learned that if they didn't have a partner, that they should deprive themselves of everything. And so food becomes a real substitute for love for a lot of people. And you have certainly demonstrated how, one, food could be a way to self-love more, and two, how if one does have a partner or is likely to have a partner, that they can use food also to enhance and increase their sexuality. So this is a total win-win.
Oh, it is, Lori, and thank you so much. I could go on for 12 hours. I have so much to say on this subject, and I have so enjoyed the classes that I have taken with you, and I've seen you privately, and I've referred some of my friends to you, some of whom fell into the category that you mentioned of folks that didn't have a partner, they were afraid to pleasure themselves, touch themselves, and I have heard the most fantastic and glowing reports from those referrals. So thank you so much for your powerful and wonderful work, because we all deserve to have sexual gratification and to feel good about ourselves and feel good in that way. And I just really love your work and that you're out there helping people who need it at that level, and also those of us who have lots of experience. You really have something to offer for everybody at every level.
Thank you so much, Catherine. And also, I feel the same way about you. Thank you for now offering what you know to everyone I know, to the whole network of people who listen to Sex and Happiness. So this has been great. Today I am speaking with Bonnie Gale, the co-creator of Sex Butter. What a yummy title for a great new sex product, a great lubricant product. Bonnie, how did you come up with the name Sex Butter?
Hi, Lori. I came up with the name Sex Butter because our product looks and feels like butter, and it's amazing for sex. So we wanted it to have a name relevant to the purpose.
Like basically a lubricant, but does it have enhancement qualities as well?
Yes, it does. It actually wakes women up from the inside, and it really is amazing stimulation for women and men, and it really heightens all the sensation and the intensity of the orgasm.
Oh, it sounds fabulous. Does it have a taste or a smell?
It smells like dark chocolate mint. And it kind of has almost like a non-taste taste. It's kind of like a coconut oil taste.
Coconut oil, yum. That's my favorite oil. So, I put coconut oil in my body every day, so this sounds like a no-brainer for me.
Oh, my God. Well, that's our main ingredient in the product.
Cocoa butter has a very subtle, it's like a nuance of a taste.
Yes, exactly.
Sounds terrific. And what else is in the oil, Bonnie?
We have cocoa butter, and so that's where you get the chocolate smell from. And then shea, jojoba, and grapeseed oil, and then a little secret sauce that we put inside. That's our special proprietary blend.
Oh, it sounds lovely. So now women can use this and men can use this.
Yes, absolutely. Can I give you a little hint that I like to tell men because it's really awesome?
Yeah.
When a couple uses this, the man becomes like the female's hero because he makes her feel better than she ever, ever, ever has before. And there's lots of little surprises that come along with that.
Now I'm very intrigued.
Personally, I use this product internally. And as you know, that most women have a really hard time having internal orgasms. And this really makes that whole experience so much easier, that men have surprises that they never really, you know, a lot of them have never experienced before with women, because most women don't have internal orgasms.
So this is a product that enhances the ability for women to have orgasms and for men to get surprised and feel that way, like it enhances, stimulates, and possibly even heightens.
Exactly. And for men also, the sensation even keeps going on after the orgasm, so it is really amazing for like quicker recovery time.
Thanks so much, Bonnie. This is Bonnie Gale that I've been talking with, and she is the co-creator of a new amazing product, Sex Butter.
And you can order Sex Butter at www.sexbutter.net. That's sexbutter.net.
We're going to sign off now from Sex and Happiness. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, my sponsors, and
tune in next week when my guest will be talking about sex and aging, how aging affects sexuality and how it can get even better. I know for myself it has, so see if it can for you.
This is Lori Handler signing off.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-